Now please turn to page 754 for Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters, restores my life, leads me in right paths for the sake of the Lord's name. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live.
Let us turn now to the Acts of Apostles, of the Apostles, Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. You can find this on page 113 in your pew Bible. Just a bit of context. Last week we read about Peter speaking in the portico, Solomon's portico, and talking about a miracle that they had brought about. Peter and John had healed a man who had been born lame. The guy jumps up and proclaims God's blessings and runs into the temple. At that point, Peter and John try to make the crowd understand that it wasn't by their own power that they did it, but rather in the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And Peter goes on to describe that this was the guy, you'll remember a few weeks back, this was the guy you crucified. That was the guy in whose name we have done this. And as it turns out, the Sanhedrin, the religious council, gets pretty upset with that going on. So they throw Peter and John into the prison, and we pick up the story at this point. So Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the highest priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, that was John and Peter, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who is sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24, and can be found on page 226 of your New Testament Pew Bible. "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us turn now to the gospel lesson from John that inspired so much of the image of the Good Shepherd. Let's turn to John 10, verses 11 through 18. You can find that on page 97 in the Pew Bible in the New Testament. And this is Jesus speaking himself. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Christ is risen. Here we are already on the fourth Sunday of Easter, and we are still affirming that indeed we are people of the resurrection because Jesus Christ is risen. But by now, it is likely that the last of the chocolate Easter bunnies have been eaten, and you have picked up the last of the strands of green plastic grass that filled your kids' or your grandkids' Easter baskets from the carpet. Easter may be only a fading memory for you, but today we are reminded that the resurrection ought to make all the difference in the world. Christ is risen. The cynical part of you may well be asking, so what? What difference does the resurrection really make? Well, it's really up to each one of us to respond to Jesus. I was thinking about this sermon this week, and I'm reminded of two expressions that have made their way into our everyday language. Common expressions that began as smart marketing lines from catchy commercials. The first one comes, I believe, from a tire commercial that I remember from when I was a kid. It's where the rubber meets the road. Do you remember that one? It's where the rubber meets the road. And the second expression comes from a more recent Nike athletic shoe advertisement that says, just do it. Remember that one? It was often associated with Tiger Woods. Well, I believe in my heart that your response to the resurrection of Jesus hinges on one line, one verse from 1 John that Daniel read. Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Because honestly, love is not only what we believe or say, but rather love ought to be lived out in reality and direct action. Let me give you an illustration from my family. As many of you may well know, my son Zach is finishing up his senior year at Denver Academy. We're praying that he finishes his senior year. But every year, each student at Denver Academy is required to participate in one extended activity of what they're calling experiential learning. It's often a field trip, sometimes far away from campus, but always an experience where the classroom learning becomes real through active participation in new places with new people. Well, through many of his classes this year, Zach has learned about people living in poverty, about unemployment and underemployment. He's learned about hunger and homelessness. He's learned about disease and alcoholism and other problems besetting the world's people. And Zach has participated in lots of discussions about how governments and societies and individual people can make a difference in other people's lives to help make life better for all of us. Well, early this spring, over his spring break, Zach joined a handful of other students and three of his teachers to spend a week on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota, the homeland of the Lakota Sioux people. Well, this was a transformative experience for Zach. He may as well have gone to a third world country because the Pine Ridge Reservation is one of the poorest and most destitute areas in our nation. Well, Zach helped to build bunk beds for people's homes. He also worked to install skirting around the bottoms of mobile homes. If any of you know the winds of South Dakota, you know why that's really important. Zach talked to the folks who lived in these trailers. He listened to the tribal elders as they described the massacre of Wounded Knee. And he watched as they drove around the reservation. In short, Zach lived and worked among the Lakota Sioux people, and he was forever changed. I'm very proud of my son. Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Jesus is calling us to go where the rubber meets the road. Jesus is telling us, just do it. In the gospel lesson from John, we have the familiar metaphor where Jesus claims his role as shepherd and identifies all of us as his sheep. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and they know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Well, Jesus is reminding each of us that the relationship between you and Jesus can be exactly like the relationship that Jesus shares with God the Father. It is that close and that intimate. But if you take a look at the front of your bulletin, I don't think it is nearly the romantic image of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, as this would have you believe. Take a look at that image. Those of you who know sheep know that, in fact, sheep are usually shaggy and stinky with urine and feces soaked into their coats, certainly not the most intelligent of God's creatures. But take a look at that bulletin. That is you and me, my brothers and sisters, the sheep. And despite the lovely language of Psalm 23 that we all know and love, the real life of a shepherd is difficult and lonely and generally thankless. But Jesus loves you that much. Jesus sees you as the clean and shorn and white and holy sheep that he's holding. And I lay my life down for the sheep. And Jesus did just that for you and for me. We're reminded of the true power of the resurrection in this story from Acts. Peter and John were not content to live out their lives simply believing in Jesus Christ, but rather they followed his commands that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in my name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Peter and John were indeed proclaiming this message in Jerusalem, just as they had been told. And in the power of Jesus' name, Peter had healed the man born lame, and now they were thrown into jail. They answered to their crimes before the Sanhedrin, and Peter boldly explained their actions through the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Wow. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Can you imagine having the faith and the conviction to act so boldly and so prophetically you yourself? Well, it sounds great for those historic figures, but it doesn't sound practical or realistic for people of the 21st century. Well, I'm here to tell you that that is exactly what we are called to do. I want you to listen once again to this part of the epistle that Daniel read, but be forewarned, if you pay attention, you may well be convicted of your own sin. "We know love by this, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother and sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and we do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us." And so I ask you, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother and sister in need and yet refuses help? How can we, who are among the world's richest people, not use our amazing resources more completely to help people who are hungry and homeless and helpless? People who are literally right outside the doors of Burns Memorial United Methodist Church. And this is but one simple example of what Jesus was talking about. "Little children, let us love, not in word and speech, but in truth and action." John tells you that if you are truly following Jesus, that your own heart will let you know that you're not doing what Jesus has asked you to do. God knows your heart as God knows everything, and your heart will convict you of those sins of omission as well as those sins of commission. Your heart will let you know of what you should have done as well as what you did do. And if you don't feel this condemnation in your own heart, then you are likely obeying God's commandments and doing what pleases God. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. "Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action." It's where the rubber meets the road.
Just do it. Amen.